Well, thank you for being here this afternoon. We are excited to be back with you, and it's just always fun to sing these songs of praise and to get into God's Word. So we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in God's Word, one verse, and just for a few minutes here, and let God speak to us. He's got something to say to all of us here today through His Word. He always does. Anytime we get into His Word and we say, Lord, speak to me, I want to hear, He speaks. All right? He does through His Word. If you ever want to hear God speak, read the Bible. That's how God speaks. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. So let's pray and see what He has to say to us. Father, thank You this afternoon for this sweet time we've already had singing these songs of praise and worship and adoration for You. I thank You for my wife and the beautiful way she led us. And I thank You for the privilege of just bringing these words to You and honoring You and glorifying You. Teach us to do that better. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that every time we open Your Word with expectant hearts, every time we open Your Word, knowing that it is Your living, powerful Word, sharper than a two-edged sword, that You are ready to speak to us if we will just listen. So help us to be hearing You well this afternoon. Help us to open our hearts, open our minds, to be teachable, to let You speak to us the truth that we need to hear, and help us to be more like Jesus and more like the way You've told us to be in Your Word as a result of this time we have together. We want You to have all the glory. I just pray You'd help me to communicate clearly. Help us all to listen well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been in 1 Peter for some time now. We're going to stay there for a while, God willing. But this is a passage of Scripture that I think God has to speak to us. Sometimes we think it's not for old folks, but it is. It's for all of us. There are places in our country today, especially, where if you mention the word Christian, some people will get a picture in their minds of people who are not very thoughtful, of people who don't think very well. They'll think maybe of somebody that's a little bit kooky. You know, if you say something about a Christian, they'll say, well, that must be a kook. Or someone who gets all worked up emotionally real quickly, but mentally they kind of see us as dodo brains or something. You know, they think, well, these are people that don't think. They're people who are afraid to think. That's what they think about Christians. And I'm sad to say that through the years, I have known Christians kind of like that, who just don't want to think very much. You know, there are those out there who don't like to think. And so that's kind of sad, because it's a misconception that Christians are not thinking people. At least biblically speaking, it's a misconception. God says we're supposed to be people who think. Who think. And who think carefully, and who think well. God intends for us to think. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, God gives us three commands. Two of them relate to how we use our minds, and we're going to look at one of them today. We won't have time to look at them all, but we can get started. And the first command is in the first 8 words of that verse. Listen to this. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now God said that. And whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, did you hear the word therefore? When we hear the word therefore, it's always a good idea to stop and say, now wait a minute, what's the therefore? Therefore. You know, we've got to go back and see why He said before that caused Him to say therefore now. So when we go back and look at the verses leading up to this in 1 Peter chapter 1, here's what He's saying. He's saying, back in verse 2, He says, since we are the elect of God, and since we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and since we are set apart by the Holy Spirit, He said all that in verse 2. And then in verse 3, He said, since we are born again to a living hope, and since Jesus was raised from the dead, that's in verse 3. And then verse 4, since we have an incorruptible inheritance. And in verse 5, since we are kept by God's power. That's what He says in verse 5, we are kept by His power. And in verse 7, since Jesus is coming again, since He's coming again, and also back in verse 5, since we're going to be glorified one of these days, we're going to be glorified. And since in verse 10, He said, since the prophets spoke about all these things, and verse 11, He says, and since they desired to understand it, but they couldn't. And in verse 12, He says, since He's revealed them to us So all of that, because of all of that, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your minds. Now this is a really beautiful picture. In Bible days, everybody wore these long flowing robes that went down to their feet. And they were fine for walking around in and for just doing everyday activity. They worked just fine. But when they required strenuous effort, when action was required, when they found it necessary to get to work, or when they found it necessary to fight or to run, those robes were in the way. They were a hindrance. So what did they do? Well, they gathered them up. They reached down and picked them up and tucked them in their belt. And that was called girding up their loins. That's what they called it. And we find that picture all the way through Scripture. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 12 when God was about to take Israel out of Egypt? And He gave them the great Passover festival. He taught them how to observe the Passover. You remember that story, how the angel passed over their houses when the angel saw the blood over the doors? You remember that? And God said, now when you celebrate this Passover, I want you to do it with your loins girded up and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. Why did He tell them to do that? Because that very night, they were going to have to leave. They were going to have to move. They were going to have to get out of there. They were going to have to move quickly, be ready to go. And He said, I want you to be ready for action, so gird up your loins. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we have another reference. When Elijah outran King Ahab, who was in his chariot, the Bible says that Elijah girded up his loins so he could run. He had to gird up his loins so he could run. So the picture is, get ready for action, get ready for work, get ready to do something. Now, nowadays, we don't use that metaphor very much because we don't wear those long flowing robes. So we say things like, roll up your sleeves, get ready for work. Or maybe sometimes if we know something's going to happen fast, we'll say, fasten your seatbelt, you know, because we got to move here. But here's the important thing to remember in this verse. God says we're to gird up the loins, or as we might say, roll up your sleeves or fasten your seatbelts of our minds. Isn't that amazing? Of our minds. He's saying get your mind ready for action. Get your mind ready to work. There's mental work to be done. There are mental battles to be fought. Quite a few years ago, a lot of us Christians worked our way through a personal evangelism program called Evangelism Explosion. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not. Vicki and I both have been through that. We've learned it and we've been teacher trainers in that program. You may not have heard of James Kennedy, or you may have. He's been dead for several years now, but he was the pastor at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he came up with this method of comprehensive evangelism training program, personal evangelism. It was really good. And it required the memorization of an outline of the gospel so you could share the gospel with people. And it required the memorization of quite a few Bible verses. And it required the memorization of several illustrations. And the outline involved a couple of diagnostic questions. We'd always ask people, have you come to the place in your personal spiritual life where you know for certain that you have eternal life? You know for certain that if you were to die, you would go to heaven. We'd ask them that question. And then based on what they said, that would help us to know what to say next. And then we'd eventually come to a question and said, well, suppose you were to die today and found yourself standing before God, and God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to God? And that was a tough question for a lot of people. But some people would say things like, well, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm trying hard, and I think I'm better than most people, or I'm better than I used to be. And of course, that's a works answer. What God wants to hear us do here in this life is realize we cannot be good enough to get to heaven. None of us can. We have no hope apart from Jesus. And so our only hope is trusting Christ and what He did for us on the cross. We sang about it a while ago. So we asked that question, and then when we finished that, when we realized they needed to hear God's truth, God's gospel, we had a 5-point outline. The first point was heaven, and there are 2 sub-points for every point. The first one was heaven, and the sub-points were, it's a free gift. It cannot be earned or deserved. We can't earn our way into heaven. The second point was man. That's us. And the first sub-point was, we're all sinners. And the second one was, we cannot save ourselves. It's not going to happen. The third point was God. And the first sub-point was God loves us. And the The second sub-point was God hates our sin. So he loves us, but he hates our sin. And then the fourth point in the outline was Jesus Christ, who he is. He's the infinite God-man. And he became a man. He's one of us. And then what he did, he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And then the fifth point was faith. And what it's not just talking to God about things in this life. It's not just praying about a lot of stuff. It's not just believing with your head, but it's trusting Christ and only Christ for our eternity, for our salvation. And then there was more. There was a prayer of commitment. There were follow-up things that we memorized and learned how to share. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is this. As you can see, there's a lot of work in memorizing something like that. Mental work. It took a lot of time. The way we did it is we did it in teams of two or three people. Of course, we'd have a class that was going on, and it would last for several months. And we would, each one of us who had already been trained would recruit somebody else, or maybe two other people, and they would be part of our team. And then over a period of months, we would just, every week we'd meet and we'd recite the memory work. Every week we had things to memorize and we'd quote that back to each other and recite it back until we learned it really well. We had to gird up the loins of our minds to get through that class. And as you can imagine, it caused a little bit of a separation in the church, because here's what happened. Lots of people started the program, but were simply not willing to gird up the loins of their minds. They weren't willing to do that hard mental work. They felt like they were too busy, or maybe they felt like they were too tired, or maybe they felt like they were too old, or maybe they felt like they were just too preoccupied, so they just kind of quit. Now, they were sweet people, and we loved them to death. You know, we didn't get mad at them or anything, but it was sad they just weren't willing to obey this command, gird up the loins of your mind. That's what we all have to do. You see, for many of us, it's not too hard just to go to church every Sunday. For some of us it is, but for some of us it's not hard at all to go to church every Sunday. Or to attend Christian meetings like we have here sometimes, like today. That's not too hard. Or maybe to listen to good Christian teaching. I hope you get a chance to do that, you know, either on a podcast or on the radio or on the television. Now, there's some things out there that are called Christian programs that are really not very Christian, but the really good ones, the truly Christian programs, are really worth listening to. It's good stuff. And I listen to a lot of that myself. I do. I think it's important. But I think all of us know this, but we need to be reminded, it's easy for us to let that good teaching just kind of go through our minds and then it's gone. It just rolls right off our minds, kind of like water rolling off the back of a duck. You know, it just doesn't stick if we're not careful. Well, how are we going to make it stick? We have to gird up the loins of our minds. We have to think. We have to absorb, we have to learn, we have to memorize sometimes. Sometimes we may have to listen more than once or read things more than once to apply God's Word to our lives. You may remember that in this little letter that we're reading that Peter wrote, the people that he's writing to were suffering. You remember that? We talked about that sometime back. Some of them had been scattered out of their homes. They had to flee their homes and they were being persecuted. And so here God's telling them through Peter, listen, folks, to handle these trials well, to handle them successfully, to keep a godly attitude in your time of trouble, requires mental work. In order to do this, in order to get through this, you have to gird up the loins of your minds. It requires mental energy. It requires mental action. So they had to memorize God's words. They had to memorize some verses. They had to memorize some promises. And they had to figure out how to use those promises and how to use God's truth to help them get through the tough times. And that's what we have to do. It's always been amazing to me, and I'm including myself right here now. Don't think I'm preaching at you and not at me. It's always been amazing to me how many of us can get depressed and down in the dumps and discouraged and still not really apply our minds to God's Word. We want to excuse ourselves. God's given us things in His Word that are right from Him, designed by Him to help us when we need it the most, to conquer this stuff, to conquer this depression, to conquer this discouragement. And especially during the times of pressure, we need to gird up the loins of our mind and do the work that we need to do to memorize and meditate on God's Word. Now, I've had Christians get irritated at me for suggesting that, because when we're really down, when we're discouraged, and I know sometimes I can be a little bit too aggressive with this kind of thing, so I got to be careful. But when we get down, sometimes we feel like, well, all I want to do is kind of wallow in my emotions and just kind of wallow in my depression. And if somebody comes along and says, you need to consider memorizing and meditating on this scripture passage, it may irritate me because I'm just wanting to wallow in my sadness or something. I'll admit it's much better if we memorize it ahead of time. You know that. Memorize it ahead of time. Meditate on it ahead of time. So when the crisis comes, we'll already be prepared. We'll have our minds prepared. But during that time of crisis, we need to do the mental work to respond to the crisis the way God wants us to respond. Now listen, I know every one of us in here is getting older. We're getting older. And our bodies are getting older. And our minds are getting older. And it gets harder and harder. I know it does. It gets harder and harder to gird up the loins of our minds. That's just not an easy thing to do as we get older. But we got to be careful that we don't just make excuses. We have some mind left. I know our bodies aren't what they used to be, and neither are our minds. They're not what they used to be. I know that. But as long as the Lord gives us a body to live in, and as long as the Lord gives us a little bit of mind that works, there may be a little bit left, He wants us to use it for Him. He wants us to gird it up and use it for His glory. Gird it up the best we can and use what's left of our minds and use what's left of our bodies for His glory until He calls us home. Now you say, how am I going to do that? Ask Him. Ask Him. Father, help me know how I can gird up my mind and use this little old frail body that's wearing out, what's left of it, for Your glory. Show me how to do that. And He will. He will. He will. So let's ask Him right now. Father, You see us in this room, and we're aging. Our bodies are wearing down. Our minds are wearing down. And Lord, in many cases, we feel like we don't have much to offer. But Lord, You've left us here. You've left us here in these bodies, and You've given us some mental ability here, or we wouldn't be in here. And Lord, I pray that You would help us not to make excuses, but to be faithful to offer our bodies up to You, living sacrifices, whatever's left. Offer our minds up to You, whatever's left, for You to use. We want to gird up the loins of our minds that they might be useful to You. So Lord, speak to every one of us, please. Help us to know how we can do this, maybe by listening to podcasts or listening to good Christian teaching, and maybe listening more than once till we can get it internalized, maybe by getting into Your Word and reading and memorizing, maybe listening to Your Word and just listening over and over and over until we can share it with someone else. I don't know, Father, how You want us to do it, but help each one of us to be found faithful as long as we draw breath to offer us ourselves, our minds, to You for Your use, for You to get glory through us. And Lord, we know it is amazing what You can do through any of us who is offered to You, who is sacrificed to You, who is willing to give You everything and let You work through us and accomplish Your purposes. So thank You for this opportunity. Thank You that we still have life. Thank You that we can still be useful to You in some way. And so, Lord, use us. Help us to be prayer warriors. Help us to be spiritual warriors, fighting the enemy, Satan and his demons, and being an effective spiritual warrior, maybe on behalf of someone else who desperately needs help, who's under spiritual attack. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. And, Lord, we're so looking forward to that day when You're going to give us brand new bodies, glorified and eternal and immortal. Bodies that will be thrilling, and bodies that we can run and move in and accomplish all Your purposes for us throughout eternity in. Lord, we're excited about that. We're looking forward to that, to minds and brains that will work better and memories that will work better. We're so excited about that day. Thank You that You've promised it, and thank You that You sealed that promise with our Lord Jesus Christ and by His death and His resurrection and by giving us Your Holy Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit, to provide for us a kind of down payment, an assurance that one of these days we're going to be complete forever with You. And we look forward to that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.